Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Listen, we're talking about a yoke here. Christ says, "Take my yoke." And this kind of reminds me of this new generation that has come to the church and has said, "Hey, stop trying to oppress me. Stop trying to tell me what to do. Nobody tells me what to do and how to live." When Christ gives us a yoke, it's not a yoke of oppression. How many today feel that following God, the God of the Bible, is following a God that just wants to oppress them, that wants to just strike them down, to just take over their lives entirely and to make them mindless robots? I know that's the impression that the world would have us to take, but that's not really God. That's not who he is. That's not true to his character as we read in the Word of God. Jesus says, "Take my yoke." Yeah, that there is a yoke, but it is a yoke of discipleship. It is a yoke that is meant to guide and to teach and to keep you where you need to be in line. Just as, you know, in Africa, we have a lot of farmers working with oxen and they have a yoke. And that yoke is not to weigh them down and to make their life miserable, but rather it is to keep them walking straight and to show them where to go and to keep them together. Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." How many today have shaken off that yoke of discipleship and they said, "Hey, no one's going to tell me what to do. No one's going to tell me how to live. I am my own man. I'm going to make my own choices." And in doing so, you have said, "I am not teachable and I don't want God and I don't want the Bible in my life because I don't want anyone telling me what to do." Jesus says, "Learn of me." What kind of character does he have? Well, he says, "For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls." Here we have the motive behind Christ wanting to teach us and wanting us to take this yoke, not to oppress, not to burden, but rather that we might find rest for our souls. So as we fulfill the Great Commission, are we taking this yoke of discipleship? Are we learning of him? And what exactly does that mean? I'm Damon Matichera. Let's talk missions. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the show. I'm glad that you've tuned in once again as we look at the Great Commission and how we need to be actively participating in it. It needs to be a priority. It needs to be our very life. Everything about who we are and how we live and what our goals are, all of it needs to reflect this love for God and this desire to bring reconciliation between God and man. That is the heart of the Great Commission. That's the heart of God. You know, I was just talking at church the other day and I was teaching about how even before the foundation of the world, God had this plan in motion to bring reconciliation. And I love how even when Christ came, what did Jesus say? I've come to finish the work that God, basically paraphrasing, of course, but that he came to finish the work that God, the Father, had started. And now it is our turn. It is up to us to continue where Christ left off. You see, Jesus, he finished that work. He brought reconciliation through his sacrifice at Calvary. But now it is our turn to go and to speak these words of life and how Christ can bring hope and peace, how he was the atonement for our sin. And so all of this is vitally important. We have a part to play. We have a responsibility to go out and to live our faith and to be the ambassador that Christ wants us to be, representing him and his gospel, his salvation that is opened to the world. And so just a quick update before we get into today's podcast. Our family is doing great. We are moving forward. I think this week was our first week back at school. You know, our school schedule is kind of, you know, set based on where we are and if we have the school books. If we don't have the school books, it's kind of hard to move forward in that area. But the barrels came that we shipped, ages ago. And with the barrels and with the school books, we also got this radio equipment that we have here that I'm using today. I am really thrilled because we're starting this broadcast here in Chapada, Zambia. And it is such an opportunity. We're going to be able to talk to up to a million people in the Chapada area, even a little bit into Malawi, into Mozambique, into a vast area in the eastern province of Zambia. And so really, this is going to be huge for our ministry. And we are really looking forward to opening this door and walking through it. And so pray with us that as we start this radio broadcast, that God would get the glory. You know, part of our goal here, in fact, one of our main goals, is to empower and to equip God's people to serve Him. That needs to be what we're doing. And that goal should be true whether you are on the mission field or in the United States, right where you are, right where you are listening from. Your goal needs to be to be making disciples, to empower and to equip God's people. And the same is true of you. You know, in your church, the church should be helping you to give you the tools that you need so that you can go out and do your part. And so if you're lacking knowledge, if you're lacking that confidence, then I would encourage you, go out, talk to your pastor and say, hey, what can I do to learn and to grow? Or how can I participate? How can I get more involved so that I can do my part in the Great Commission right where I'm living? And so that would be my word of encouragement for you today. But the family here is doing well. Some big news. We have been talking about the ministry base. And this, again, has been on our heart for a number of years. I think I explained it before. It's going to have a huge impact in our ministry with everything that we want to do. Basically, this ministry base will become the heart of our entire ministry. From, you know, discipleship to where we just bring everyone together to kind of to regroup before we go back out. We're going to be doing some training. We're going to have our radio studio. It's going to be officially there on the ministry base as we continue to grow this program. And, you know, the ministry base with the radio station, of course, we don't have a station right now. We're going to be renting a once-a-week program. But if it takes off and if we can get, you know, proficient in it, then I would love to one day actually have a station where we can actually put the tower up right on the land that I'm about to talk to you about. But if we can set a tower up, have our own station, again, another huge opportunity. But, you know, my philosophy has always been, hey, start small. We don't need to go right from nothing to, you know, building the tower and setting up our radio station. You know, let's start small and let's have a program once a week. Let's kind of get our feet wet. Let's get the word out there. Let's see how we do and what kind of listener base there is. And then as it grows and as we move forward, well, we can go from there. And so that's a great opportunity. But again, going to the land, we did find a piece of land, a beautiful piece of land right from the plot there. You can see the whole city of Chapada. It is absolutely beautiful. You're surrounded by mountains. It's right by another friend of ours. So there's an element of security, but it's kind of outside of town, but it's not really that far outside of town. I think maybe 5 or 10 minutes driving and you're in the heart of Chapada. And so it really is the perfect location for everything we want to do. It's about 2 hectares, which I want to say is, what is that, 4 or 5 acres? But again, it is an unbelievable piece of land. We put an offer in, and the offer was accepted. It was accepted. They went for it. And so we got all the paperwork in line. We actually had to hire a lawyer just to kind of officiate things. We paid our down payment on the land, and the rest of the funds is actually in the lawyer's hands. They'll be taking care of it. So for all intents and purposes, we have a piece of land. It's ours. Of course, everything needs to be finalized, and hopefully that will be done by the end of the month. As soon as that is done, there's been a couple of churches that have caught on with this vision and kind of sponsored a little bit of the clearing of the land, putting up a fence. But there's a whole bunch of stuff that we want to do, and we'll tell you more about that. But if you want to get involved, if you want to give towards that project, towards this ministry base, you can go on our website at hopezambia.com, where you can learn more about that. Just go under the donate page, and all the information will be there. So again, it is really, we're going through an exciting time here in Zambia, Africa, with our ministry at Hope Zambia. But pray for us. Pray for our family. Pray for the Norris family, the Taylor and Lauren Norris family that are also here in Chapada. Also, we have Beth Resch that is raising her funding in the United States. And don't forget also Isaiah and Allison Carr, who just started traveling full-time as well. And so if you're looking for a missionary to support, there are a number, there are a couple of them, Beth and Isaiah and Allison, that need funding and that are traveling right now. If you want to have them in, contact us or contact them. But we would love to point you in their direction. So we are excited to be part of a growing and thriving ministry. Of course, no ministry is perfect because every ministry deals with people, and no person is perfect. You know, we all have our faults and we're all sinners. But you know what? As long as we are moving forward, as long as we are focused on Christ and we want to please Him, that is the most important thing. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to focus on what truly is important, and that is leading people to the Lord, grounding them in their faith, and giving them the tools that they need to go out and fulfill the Great Commission for themselves. And so that is a little bit of our heart with what we're doing here in Zambia. And I hope it's an encouragement for you, because God is really working here. And we are just thrilled to be a part of this growing ministry. So in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 29, as we look at today's episode, we are learning to follow Jesus. I love how Christ, he says in Matthew 11, 29, he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." The question here is, are you learning? Are you learning? Are you teachable? The whole point is that Jesus is teaching. He's teaching us. We need to be disciples of Christ. We need to be taught by Him. We need to be going to Him to be taught. You know, that's what you're doing when you open the Word of God. When you spend time in God's Word, you're putting yourself under its influence, under His influence, the influence of God. And our desire needs to be for the Holy Spirit to shape our life, to convict us of sin, and to point us in the right direction that we should be going. Now, when it comes to the Great Commission, we need to be going out. We need to be living and working with people around us and showing them God's love, His forgiveness, and representing His interests. And so I hope that's true of you today, and I hope that we are all taking this command very seriously. Now, in verse 28, going back a little bit, Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." There's two invitations here in verse 28 and 29. The first invitation that Jesus says, he says, "Come, come unto me, all ye that labor." So we have this labor going on, people that are heavy laden, and he's promising them rest. I mean, that's a beautiful thing, because how many people just want rest? They want rest for their souls. You know, I talk to a lot of people when I'm evangelizing, and time again, they'll all say the same thing. They'll say, "Damon, you know, I was trusting in my good works. I was trusting in trying to keep the law, trying to keep the commandments. But it's so difficult. It's so hard. And as much as I try, I'm always failing. As much as I try, I'm always coming short." And I think that's the whole point. The law was never given so that we could keep it like a ritual, so that one day if we keep all the commandments that we will be saved. That's not God's advice from the Word of God. The Bible says that the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. And so we have the law to show us that we are guilty, that we are sinners. That's what Romans chapter 1 says. "For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But this one guy that I led to the Lord, he looked at me afterwards and he said, Damon, I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled that I don't have to keep on trying to measure up and then failing because it's so frustrating. And that's exactly how it feels if you're trying to keep the law, if you're trying to be a good person and you're doing that for your salvation, you're going to fail. You are setting yourself up for failure. And that's why Christ, he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. You see, the law will condemn you, and it really brings that burden of sin upon you, and you realize, hey, I cannot fulfill the law. Just this past week, we were talking to another lady, and after about an hour of just witnessing to her, and I was wondering, is she really understanding the gospel that I'm presenting to her? She said, Damon, I'm kind of confused because we've gone through these scriptures and I feel like there's really no hope then. Like, what hope is there because of my sin? There's really nothing I can do. I'm just guilty and I'm condemned. And I realized at that point that she understood perfectly, because that is where a person needs to be before they can get saved. They need to understand that they are in themselves without hope. There is nothing they can do. And that is where Christ comes in, because he is our hope. And that's what grace is. We are undeserving. And when he shows that kindness, when he gives us his grace, he is basically giving something to us that we don't deserve. We are undeserving. But still, in his love and in his kindness, he is showing it to us anyways. And so he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Verse 29 says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now, I mentioned earlier on that this second invitation is one of discipleship, and it's one that after you have received Christ, that you need to partake in. The question here is, are you learning to follow Jesus? This second step on the journey with Christ is making the decision to learn of him. That's the key phrase where he says, and learn of me. So many people want to have an influence in your life. A lot of people. There are so many online influencers, people that they think they have a voice, but really, they're just spouting out the rhetoric of the world, the propaganda that this world would give. They really should not have any influence in your life. The only person who should have influence is Christ, is Jesus. And we should be looking at the Word of God as that final authority for everything. And so when we open the Bible, we should be basically saying, hey, I have no idea what to do or how to live. Lord, show me. I want to learn of you. The yoke here that we talked about earlier is that the yoke of discipleship. It's not a yoke that's meant to burden you and to weigh you down and to make your life miserable. God is not in heaven. He's not a cranky old man who's looking down from heaven saying, I wonder how I can make his life miserable again. You know, that's not the God that we have. Now, I know some people, they have this opinion of God, like they have to serve him out of fear. But what does the Bible say? There's no fear in love. And love is the motivation behind everything that we do. If you're working for God, if you're serving him, you should be doing it out of love, because you love him, because you know he loves you, and because you have that love for other people, and you want them to experience the same joy and the same forgiveness that you partook of in your own life. Now, Jesus here, he kind of took a page out of the Old Testament playbook in verse 29, where he said, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. So Jesus is quoting from Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, and he gives this call to go back and to recognize that there is wisdom in God's way. What does Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16 say? Jeremiah speaking, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." Now, the funny thing is, the people back then, the Bible says, but they said, "We will not walk therein." You see, even back then, God's people, they were filled with their own ways. They didn't want God's way. They didn't want to follow and to live according to his expectations, but we should not follow in their example. Today, we should look at Christ and we should say, "I will follow anywhere, everywhere, I will follow him." You see, the traditions of the apostles, when we look at the word of God, the traditions of the apostles, they're not invalid just because they're 2,000 years old. You know, Jesus is referencing going back to the old ways. You know, the Bible has wisdom. Okay, these traditions, these writings that though they are old, over 2,000 years old, if we look at the New Testament, even the Old Testament, it's even older than that. But this is God's word. It is pure. It is undefiled, and it is just as relevant for today as it was in the days in which it was written. Today's modern Christianity cancels out anything that isn't trending with the world. In fact, it's almost like the church has created and formed this damaging partnership with the world, allowing the world to come in and to show us how to live for God, how to reach the lost, how to even define success and effectiveness. We've allowed the world to teach us, when really we should be going to Christ and we should be going to him and learning of him. We should be going to the Word of God directly, allowing the Word of God to change our minds and hearts. But instead, we've opened the doors to the world and we've said, "Hey, what do you think?" And the world says, "Well, you know what? If it's culturally acceptable, well, then that's a good thing. If it's promoting your own happiness, well, then it's a really good thing. And of course, if it's entertaining, well, then you know you're really on the right track. And these are the things that you have to do to really find that good way moving forward. It needs to be entertaining. It needs to be culturally acceptable. It needs to be just in line with this modern philosophy that we're developing." And the church has bought it. The church has bought it. We have traded our stand on the Word of God and the doctrine that has been passed down from generations, from the teachings of the apostles themselves coming down 2,000 years. We've traded all of that in place for this woke agenda, this propaganda from the world teaching us, showing us how we should live for God. That cannot be a thing. That cannot be a thing. The world has no place in the church. Okay, write that down. The world has no place in the church. And the world certainly has no place telling the Christian how we should live and how we should measure the effectiveness of our outreach. That's one sure way of messing up the church. We need to be focused on Christ. Go to Christ directly. This world would have you to leave the Word of God, to drop the Bible, because that book has so much power. That book has so much influence. It's God's voice. And when you put that book down and you trade it for the voice of this world, well, then that is a really bad trade. You're going to end up losing in the end. We need to follow Christ because that is the object of our faith. If you indeed call yourself a Christian, you are exercising faith. We're going to talk about that in a few weeks, but you have faith. But who is the object of our faith? Well, it's Jesus himself. Well, then if he is the object of our faith for Christianity, this faith that we believe in, well, then doesn't he get to dictate really that faith and how we should have it and his expectations? Doesn't he get to tell us how we should live and how we should do and operate things in our life? Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you." See, there is a yoke, this yoke of discipleship. There are guidelines that Jesus has. It's not that Jesus says, "Listen, go just live your life and do whatever you want to do and just be you and trust your heart." You know what? I really hate it when people say, oh, Jesus said to trust your heart. Where? Where did Jesus ever say, trust your heart? If anything, he said your heart is evil. It's desperately wicked. Who can know it? But nowhere in the Bible should we ever trust your heart. Another one is, hey, be true to yourself. Really? How does one even do that? Be true to myself. Basically, that means just, hey, do whatever I want to do. Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. You know, people who just want to live their life anyhow, just doing whatever they want to do, they look at the yoke of Christ as bondage. They look at the yoke of Christ as chains that are restricting them from living their best life. And we have a generation today that are just really yelling at the church, that are throwing a temper tantrum saying, man, I'm emotionally wounded because the church told me what to do when I was 13 years old, and now I'm scarred for the rest of my life. Listen, if you have a problem with the church, you have a problem with God, because the Bible has guidelines. The Bible has a way for you to follow. Don't call yourself a Christian if you're not willing to follow the word of God. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. Again, not a yoke of bondage, not a burden, but a way to guide you. What did he actually say? For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You see, there is no weight to this yoke. There is no burden to it. It is for your benefit. It is for your learning. You see, you cannot learn if you're not willing to take the yoke of Christ. If you're not willing to follow him in discipleship, to submit yourself, when you put that yoke on the oxen, that yoke is not very heavy because it's never meant to be heavy. It's meant to guide the oxen. The oxen have to have the yoke if they are to learn how to plow a field. Okay, that is just farming 101. You have the yoke, the guy who's plowing the field, he's using the yoke to guide the oxen, to point them in the right direction. Otherwise, I mean, man, that would be a complete mess. It would be a disaster. You'd have one cow wanting to go one direction, another cow wanting to go a completely different direction, and the guy would be totally lost trying to figure out what to do. And that's kind of how the church is today, at least churches that are really removing the word of God and the authority of the scriptures. You find so many Christians that they've removed the yoke of discipleship. They have chosen not to submit to the authority of the scriptures and instead have made themselves an authority. And so you have Christians that are coming up with these ideas and these philosophies of life that are not lining up with scripture. And then when you call them out for it, they say, hey, you're trying to put a yoke on me. You're trying to burden me down with this rhetoric, this Christian rhetoric. Judge not. Well, hey, are you a Christian? Well, then how can you be saying that you're a Christian and you're totally ignoring the word of God? Now, I know not everyone is like that. And if you're not like that, well, that's awesome. Good for you. But you know what? Take that yoke. Christ is offering that yoke. Take it. Embrace it. Make that yoke your yoke and learn of him. Think of that yoke as that act of submission where you are saying, Lord, I want you to teach me. I am going to follow you in whichever way you lead me. You see, when I look at the Bible and I say, hey, this word of God is a final authority in my life, I have made that yoke. I've made the word of God that yoke that I have. It is guiding me. It is controlling me. It is not a burden. It is not heavy, but it is light and it is easy. The only ones that it is hard for, listen, if you've ever seen a cattle fight against a yoke, well, it has nothing to do with the yoke. It has everything to do with that oxen fighting the yoke. The oxen just doesn't want the yoke, but the yoke is not heavy. The yoke is not hurting the animal. The oxen just has an attitude. And how many Christians today, they just have attitudes because they don't want to submit to the authority of the scriptures. So this new modern Christianity is really, really messing things up. And we should not embrace it. We should not follow it. We should be different because our philosophies, really have different sources of authority. We have the Bible, and the world has its own reason and human thought and intellect, and often it is flawed, whereas the Bible is God's word. And if you really believe the Bible is God's word, then you're going to believe that it's true and that it's without error. You're going to believe that it is inspired, and there's going to be no qualms about it. You're going to have faith, and you're going to take the word of God for what it is. So when Jesus comes and he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls." You know how many Christians today, they just don't have any rest in their souls because they're fighting God. We're fighting God so much just to do our own will. We just don't want anyone to tell us what to do. It's kind of frustrating because we want to be the masters of our own destiny. We want to be in control. And to yield that control, it's really hard for some people. It's really difficult because when we place ourselves at the mercy of someone else, then we are vulnerable. We become vulnerable. And there's that unknown factor when we do that, that we have to really trust that person. Well, Jesus is saying, trust me. God is saying, trust me. What did he say? Take my yoke. He said in verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I mean, right there, he states his intentions. He wants to give you rest. And he says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Again, we see his motives. His motives are not harsh. He's not being vindictive. He's not telling you that you should follow him or he's going to strike you dead. There's no mention here in verse 29 of lightning bolts being shot down from the sky on those who don't follow him. There's none of that. He says, I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So in wrapping things up today, I really want to encourage you to trust Christ. He can be trusted. He's not there wanting to trick you. He's not, you know, trying to ease you in so that you take the yoke and then wham, he slaps you on. And then he's caught you and now you're weighed down with this heavy burden. That is not what Christ is trying to do here. He wants you to find rest. He wants you to follow him, to live life and to have it more abundantly. He wants all of this. He wants you to be living in joy and love and peace. All of this is true and you can have it all, but we need to come to him on his terms. We need to allow him to lead us and we need to go to him and to learn of him. You know what? You're going to be happy. You're going to look at it and you're going to say, why was I fighting this yoke of discipleship? Why was I fighting Christ for so long? I wish I would have accepted this invitation years ago. And so we're going to take a look at this maybe for another week or two as we progress with the podcast, because as we try to fulfill the Great Commission, we have to really keep our eyes on Christ. But our opinion of God, our view of God, and his call to us, all of that comes to play as we try to reach the lost with the gospel, as we try to do our part to tell people how they can have that same hope and peace. But if we're fighting God, if we're fighting Christ, if we're fighting this yoke of discipleship, well, then what hope do we have of ever making a difference in the world around us? You know, the church is full of a lot of people today, but people that are actively fighting God so that they don't have to submit to his will. I hope that's not you today. And we're going to talk about this again next week. And Lord willing, it will be an encouragement. So if you would love to learn more about who we are, the Metachara family here in Zambia, Africa, let me point you to our website at hopezambia.com. That is hopezambia.com. And you could learn everything that there is to know about what we're doing. We have been here for 23 years, fulfilling the Great Commission abroad in the heart of Zambia, Africa. We're in the city of Chapada in the Eastern Province, and we are loving the work that God is doing here. If you're thinking about looking for a place to have a missions trip, we would love to invite you. There is a place on there where you can write us. You can actually apply if you're looking for a missions trip, or maybe the Lord is calling you to be a missionary. We also have an application on there as well. If you're praying about potentially being part of our team, we would love to look into that with you as well and see how the Lord leads. But either way, write us a letter, kind of check in and let us know what you think of what God is doing in Zambia, Africa. Maybe you have a question about the podcast or there's something that you want to know more about. But whatever it is, please check in and we would love to hear from you. So from all of us, again, in the Matachera home here, 8,000 miles away in the heart of sub-Saharan Africa, we are wishing you the very best. So may the Lord bless you. Until next time, take care. And God bless.